I don't think we need a game.
I think this might be different because it's Tannen's chance to go to the movies.
Yeah, this is
even though we did it with Gypsy, but I don't know.
Well, but that was like, hey, we're going to take on the show, but like the only way that we can watch it with our moms is like watching the movie version.
True. We're taking on the show.
Where
yeah.
This is like purely a movie.
Mamma Mia 2 is not.
Not coming
fine.
To Broadway.
Yeah. Oh,
not coming.
I kind of wish it was.
Nope.
I wish it was on my life.
Nope.
It would do so well, Jessica. It would do so well.
Sipping on Sondheim while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wine and picking the next show. Hear Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennyson Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June or moon, I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are all dead.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. This is a weird episode.
This is a weird episode. All right?
Guys, I'm in California right now. Jimmy, where are you?
I'm in New York, where I should be. Not like California is bad, but that's where we record the podcast. What are you doing?
Way more prepared than I was, and I'm... still living my California dream.
You're living your... California dreaming.
Yes, it's been amazing. I'm in San Diego, literally living my best life. People ask me, like my friends and stuff, they're like, why are you here? I mean, it's great, but like, why are you here? And I'm like, because...
those are terrible friends. It's like... That's such a backhanded compliment to be like, that's so great. Why are you here? That's what I say to people who come to, like, barbecues that I didn't invite them to. Hello. Hi. Why are you here? It's so good to see you. What are you doing here?
Okay, so I'm never coming to a barbecue of yours ever again. Thanks. No, it's just because I haven't lived here in 2 years, and they know that I live in New York, and they're just... They want to make sure that I'm okay.
Oh, okay.
But it's been wonderful. I have connected with so many people and really been able to have some time for myself and press the reset button. And
oh, that's beautiful.
It's been really, really lovely. Get out of the city and the stress of all that and my life and just kind of kick back and relax. It's been cool.
That's so
really
good.
Cool.
I wish I could set the reset button. I got back from my... coming to California, and I subsequently had an audition, got the show, and then have been in rehearsals/working throughout the all day. Like,
I'm sorry, you're so talented. That's amazing, though. I'm
so
proud of
hard.
You. It's so hard being me. I'm so proud of you. That's literally amazing.
Thank you very much.
So how was your week? I mean, I know you've been in rehearsals, but other than that, just had a good week?
It's literally been, like, in rehearsals and then working.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's, like, it's been really weird because it's, like, I really wanted to maybe, like... do some stuff with my apartment or, like, spruce that up, make that look nice. Because, you know, how, like, you know, like, you kind of just leave your apartment how it is when you go. And I thought I was like, ooh, when I get back, I'm going to do a nice deep clean and get it. And then I did not get that thing. Still, like, things are piling up. Hey, friends. Hey, moms. Sorry. I got pizza boxes on the floor right now. Like, just scattered.
Maybe we need to do, like, a call to action for a mom to, like, come and help you clean up your apartment.
Maybe. I mean...
Whip you into shape.
Thank you. Come on. Come on, moms. Right?
I actually have been cooking a lot, which is very unusual for me.
Okay.
I don't really know how to cook. I miss those classes that I was supposed to take.
Those home ec classes?
Not offered. I substituted choir in there, so...
how's that singing working out for you. I mean, actually, I guess it's working pretty well, actually, for your profession.
I think it was a good choice.
Yeah.
But I've been doing a lot of cooking, and I will say that the apartment looks lovely.
From what I see, this apartment looks dope.
I know. I'm very happy with it, and it has just allowed me to have the time to be able to do that kind of stuff. Here's something buzzing outside. Okay. Yeah. The other thing that I've been doing a lot of is going to theater. So I'm back in San Diego with, like, all the theaters that my friends are working at. So this week alone, I've seen Funny Thing Happen on the Way to the Forum, Spamalot, Once, and then last night, because it's Comic-Con, I got to go see Crazy Ex-Girlfriend live.
What a great you're in San Diego as Comic-Con is happening!
Yeah. Ah!
I am super jealous. I'm super jealous. I didn't have much room to go. I'm super jealous. That's so awesome. How was it? How was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Live?
It was incredible. I was so happy. Like, it's literally one of my favorite shows on TV because it's so nerdy. Like, if you really study it from, like, a musical theater perspective, it is genius. And I actually recently listened to the commentary album with the writers from the show and about what they were thinking when they wrote certain songs and kind of their process for seasons 1 and 2. And so hearing those songs with those backstories, and they had half of the cast was there.
Yeah.
And it was really incredible.
They're brilliant. They always take, like, such great genres and tropes and put them on their head. It's...
Yes.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is wonderful. I'm certain that they are doing it themselves. I'm certain that... Because next season is the last season. And I'm certain that they've chosen it themselves to do it. But I'm still very sad.
I'm very sad, too. But I feel like Rachel Bloom and I should be best friends. So...
Great.
It's fine.
Great. Done.
Let's get into the other thing that we both saw this week.
Let's get... Yeah, so we did something else.
Oh, so my goodness. This is a very special episode.
Jessica, I have to... You introduce it, and then I'll tell my thing. I'm so sorry.
So this is Tannins and Toons Goes to the Movie.
Tannins and Toons Goes to the Movie.
Two.
We saw...
What?
We saw Mamma Mia... Here we go again. We saw Mamma Mia 2, a sequel that nobody
asked for.
And they didn't decide to do it, like, on Broadway first and then a movie second. They just decided to do a movie. And you know what, Jessica? I loved it. It was silly, and it had no plot, and I loved every minute of it. It was the best.
I will say that I got really drunk. I'm not drunk. I was not drunk, but, like, I had a lot of wine as I was watching.
Yeah, it's
and
good. Get some wine, you.
As the movie progressed, and as I got more and more tipsy, the better it became.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm pretty sure that was planned. Like, this is how it was edited, is they just, like, started sober.
So you...
And they kept drinking, and that's how this movie became.
So either you posit that they were sober when they started editing, and then they got drunk more often, which made a better movie to think, or they edited it for... people to be sober and then to be drunk at the end.
Both of those things.
Great, because in my mind, in your mind, if you're drunk while you're editing something, that is proportional to how people should be when they're watching it. Great, cool.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what I was drinking and.
Okay.
What I think pairs with this, and then we'll go into our discussion of the film itself.
Let's get into it.
Okay, so let's talk about what I drank during when I saw the movies, and then we'll talk about what I'm actually pairing with it, and then what you're drinking right now.
Beautiful.
Great. So I actually was drinking Black Box Rosé. So
What's Black Box Rosé?
So it's actually a boxed wine. You can find it at most stores, actually, like most grocery stores. And it's known for being a really, really good version of a boxed wine. And it's kind of the go-to for a lot of people. But the cool thing about it is they have their 3-liter boxes that you can get.
Uh-huh.
Or you can get a 500-milliliter Tetra Pak. So that's what I did. So 500 milliliters is roughly 3/4 of a bottle of wine, because a bottle of wine is 750 milliliters.
Yeah.
So 500, you know, kind of.
About the same.
About 3/4. So I had that of their rosé, and it really did have aromas of like strawberry and white peach and things like that. And the taste, what I really like about it is that the taste is really, really light. And so kind of like with the Maison Kuby Rosé, which I think we've talked about before, at least you and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
It's so light that it kind of goes down like water, which made it great for using it during the movie. But that isn't what I'm pairing with this movie. That was just like what I was drinking while I watched it. Because honestly, it needs a different thing.
Okay, but keep going. Yes.
This movie is not classy enough for black box wine.
It's not classy enough for black box wine?
No. So, we are going with, I'm going to show you the label of it.
Okay.
The Man Can.
It is
everything that Mamma Mia 2 is not. We are doing a total opposite right now.
Oh, we're doing a 180.
We're doing a 180, but you'll see where I'm going.
Okay.
So the Man Can was designed by men.
Right.
And it was basically that they wanted to break down the barrier of men drinking wine. And they wanted to, like, feel like they're buddies, like, with the beer and the beer cans and blah, blah, blah. And so they created a can of wine. And I just want to read you what is on the side of this.
So this is wine for bros?
It's wine for bros.
Yeah, good, because bros need more things. Bros don't have enough.
Okay, I'm going to read you. This is on the side of each and every can.
Okay.
Thought up by a guy who lives in an old firehouse, walks to work with his dog, has 2 bikes and a trike, and wanted to move beyond stemware. We believe wine is for drinking, not pairing, and our notes are more rock than classical. Crush one at the game, throw one in your back pocket on a camping trip, or pop one open at your favorite dive bar. Just do us a favor and don't talk about the aroma.
Yeah, none of those things are true. The person who made that wine is more akin to me, who is just like, Star Trek is a lot like how we should be, but Star Wars is a lot where we're gonna be. I think that the Walking Dead is really relevant to what's going on in life right now with the Trump administration. That's who made this wine.
So that part doesn't really apply to Mamma Mia 2, because it is, like, definitely the broiest of bro, and I'm, like, not about that.
No.
But here's why it is similar. Because with canned wine in general, what I appreciate is that they are breaking down the barrier that separates the normal or layperson from drinking wine.
Okay.
Or, like, being exposed to good wine.
I see that.
And so by putting it into a can, you get rid of that. You get rid of the stigma. But in the same thing with Mamma Mia 2. You're getting more people exposed to musical theater. And while it might not be, like, the best thing in the world, at least you're getting people there.
Getting
people to appreciate it.
Okay. I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial
right
now. I feel the same way with Rent. I think Rent, when it first came out, was Rent or Wicked, they were really, like, of their time. They were really, like, shattering barriers. They were really cool. But now, as they've, like, as they've aged, they've just become sort of, like, the norm. You know, they don't have as much panache, man, as punch. But that's not such a bad thing, because things like Rent and Wicked are intros. People see those musicals. They say that's a lot of fun. What else do you have to offer?
And I would say that this wine in particular is very much like that. It's a great intro wine, because, like, the white that I'm drinking right now, not my favorite white wine that I've ever had. It's a little bit too buttery for me, but because it's a Viognier and an oak Chardonnay blend, but it's a little bit sweet. It's a little bit buttery. Like, it seems like there were, like, some chips added, like some oak chips or something added to, like, give it some oomph. So it's, like, not exactly the best thing, and the rosé for me was a little too sweet, but the sparkling was really good. They use their same white wine, and then they basically just infuse it with, like, carbon dioxide, so it becomes a sparkling wine. And that was actually pretty good. And their red wine is pretty good because it's a blend of Merlot and Zin from California, so you're getting good wine that you put in a can that, you know, we've talked about this with canned wine before, that the whole thing is that the insides are coated so that you don't have the wine touching the aluminum and taking on that metallic flavor.
Yeah, bruh. Yes, yeah, coated, bruh. Look, you know, so it's all metallic.
So I appreciate that Mancan is giving
Mancan.
An intro. Mancan!
I am going to say that now from the rest of the podcast. Every single time you say Mancan, I'm going to say Mancan!
Yeah.
Just get ready.
It's giving an intro to wine to people that wouldn't normally maybe pick up a bottle of wine.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Like, maybe they would go get, like, a craft beer, but then they see, like, oh, Mancan, like, that's funny. That's cool.
Right. Here's my question, though, to Mamma Mia 2, or Mamma Mia Here We Go Again, would people who have never seen a musical, or even people who have never seen Mamma Mia, watch the show?
That's a good question. I will say that the theater that I was in, it was a lot of moms.
Okay.
And a lot of women. And I should have, like, done a poll and been like, hey, did you see Mamma Mia 1? But even if they did see the first Mamma Mia, I think that Mamma Mia in general is an intro into the theater.
Jessica, say that one more time. You kind of cut out.
Okay. I think that if people have seen Mamma Mia 1 and then they go and see Mamma Mia 2, it's cool because it's still the entity of Mamma Mia is giving people a good intro into musical theater.
That's true. I will say, once we start talking about this, I have never seen Mamma Mia. I've never seen the movie, and I don't think I've ever seen
the show.
The show. I know what the show is about, but I don't think I've ever seen it. So, like, this was definitely, like, the question that I just asked you was definitely for me, and, like, I enjoyed it still, except, can we start getting into this show?
Yeah,
can we
let's
start
get
getting
it.
Into this?
Can we? Then I want to hear what you're drinking.
Let me tell you what I'm drinking, and then we'll get into it, because once I start getting into it with my thing, we're going to get into it. Okay, so I'm going a little off book. I'm going a little, like, I'm playing a little Jessica right now. Where I've chosen two wines, and through the course of drinking them, I'm going to decide which is the most...
most like Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia. So I have a Nomi Kai California Rosé, and on the bottom it says Fizzy. So it's a canned wine. And then I have an Amble plus Chase Rosé from France. Again, canned wine. They said that one is a little fruitier, a little funnier than the other, so we're gonna check out what the
Great.
Well, they are by the time.
I don't think that you compare Mamma Mia with anything except a canned wine. I think that's what it comes down to.
Oh, I think it's rosé. I think maybe you can do it.
Yeah.
Because there's just a tiniest bit of fancy, because everything's like it's all first world problems.
I think that Mamma Mia 1 is like a rosé in a bottle. Mamma Mia 2 is a can. Like,
that's true. Okay.
Everyone was like, nope, giving up the class. We're going straight for the schmack.
Well, okay, so let's just get into it. Mamma Mia 2, Mamma Mia is, I've talked to people and they're like, is it a prequel? Is it a sequel? And I was like, yes.
Both. It's both.
It's both. Also, spoilers for Mamma Mia, baby. Like, Mamma Mia 2, if you have not seen it. Also, if you haven't seen it, you're apparently one of the, like, only people in the country who hasn't seen it, because it's the top-selling movie in this weekend.
Crazy.
I don't know how that happened, but, like, on Friday, it, like, broke box office records.
I wish that I had seen it in New York, because seeing it out here, people were just not as excited about it.
Yeah.
It was very polite. Like, everyone was very polite, except for the people who were making out in front of me during that beginning song.
Okay.
And I was like, you're making out during Mamma Mia 2?
You're making out during I Kissed the Teacher? Okay. Oh.
Great.
Somebody's kissing their guidance counselor right now. All right. I'm like, yes! Oh, they get us! They get us! Let's do it right now.
It was a lot. But I heard that in New York, people, like, you would have standing ovations when Cher came in.
We had,
like, the whole thing.
There were, like, applause for things. Granted, I was at it, like, a 2 o'clock showing, so it was, like, a little tame, but still. But still, I was at a 2 o'clock showing on a Saturday, and, like, it was packed. It was packed.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a show, a movie that was going to, like, fly under the radar. Yeah, but it didn't. Okay, so, it's the plots. Let's do this both. I will give you my plots, you give me your plots of the show. So, the plot of Mamma Mia 2 is, what's her bucket? Amanda Seyfried.
Sophie.
Sophie. See, I didn't even know. Not that her hotel is going to crash and not going to think, but her grand opening isn't going to be as grand as she wants it to be. Slash, we get to see how Meryl Streep's younger self, Lily James, fucks a lot of guys.
Yep.
That's the plot.
I would say the plot is Donna is dead. She is not here.
Donna is dead!
They say that so much.
Can I ask?
And then the other plot is that Sophie's dads and her husband are not coming to the grand opening.
Ugh.
And so we have to tell the dads' stories so that we can feel something for them, so that they can come and surprise her.
There's
and then Cher shows up.
And then Cher shows up because Cher is Cher. And
because it makes sense when Meryl Streep is 69 years old to have 72-year-old Cher as her mother.
This
makes sense.
Well, I mean, if
and she also looks like Lady Gaga reincarnated.
She does look like Lady Gaga. Ugh. Also kind of excited for that Star is Born remake with Lady Gaga.
Well, yeah.
So.
But it was funny. So I was reading a couple of reviews, like, from the New York Times and from Vulture and things like that about it, who, of course, made good points. But it was one of the writers made a good point of, like, Cher, I think, was making a statement by doing this movie in particular, because it's like, it's ABBA songs, and like, we're going to take this musical group and like, make a movie based on their songs. Okay. And Cher, the Cher show is coming to Broadway.
Oh.
In the fall.
Oh, it is. Yes.
So I think it was a little bit of like a pop-up ad of like, hey guys, remember me?
Yeah. Instead of like 10 years ago. Mamma Mia 1 was 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
How did we... Oh. What?
And Pierce Brosnan only gets better with age.
Guys, friends, I am lobbying for Pierce Brosnan. I know everybody wants Idris Elba to come and be James Bond, but, like, let's do James Bond again with Pierce Brosnan.
I want them to be, like, co-James Bonds, though.
Ooh, two James Bonds. Okay, so here's the deal. It's Mamma Mia 3. And this man has just like spread his seed everywhere, and his actual name is James Bond, and then we learn that Idris Elba is his other son.
So
James Bond and Sophie Bond are international spies. All still, it's a James Bond film, all to ABBA tunes.
I don't think they have any more songs that they can pull from. Let's talk about that for a second.
That was a thing. Everybody said that, like, it was just the B-roll.
But honestly, too, I feel like they went very literally with the songs when they didn't have to.
Again, I haven't seen Mamma Mia the movie nor Mamma Mia the play, and so, like, I was like, did they go... I thought that was the same idea.
I think that this was a little bit more literal.
Okay.
And there was... You know when you see, like, a fifth-grade production of, like, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Yeah, and everybody...
They do, like, I look handsome, and they touch their face, and then I look smart, they put their finger to their forehead.
Uh-huh, and they, like the movement. Have a full swatch of colors, and it's like they're just going through, it was red and orange and green,
yes,
and brown.
Yes.
And
lots, yep, of physical props to greater intensify the words that they are saying.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that was what they did here.
Definitely, yeah.
They were doing, like, every time they would say, like, I open my arms to you, they would literally open their arms. It was too predictable for my taste. Just the amount of movements that were so closely representative of the lyrics of the song. It felt like I did this acting exercise when I was in college about, like, don't gesture.
Right.
And I feel like when they couldn't think of something to do, they just went with gestures instead of actual acting.
Like Waterloo. Waterloo's a good example.
Though I actually, of the numbers, I feel like that one, I was like, okay, like they're making it somewhat.
They're making it fun. They're making it cute. No, I here's the thing that I was like, what's going on? And it was the first song ever that made me go like, oh, okay, this is just going to be just them shoehorning songs into a story. And that was I Kissed the Teacher, I Kissed a Teacher. Because
that was very strange.
It was very strange, especially because I was like, did she kiss a teacher?
But she's just, like, ruining this graduation. Also, like, why were they all... Okay. Why were they all following her, all that stuff? But in the language, if they had clarified the language of the musical, saying, okay, in all of these flashback scenes, it's going to be over the top, over and above dance numbers... like, craziness because it's a memory or it's a dream or something like that, and then had the songs that are in the present day be really sincere, that right. it would have clarified the language, and it would have been like, oh, okay, this is a memory, so it's going to be like out of control big. Oh, this is real life, and so it's going to be a little bit more grounded and subtle.
But here's the thing. You can't have the memory because the one person who we're following... Because Donna is dead! Why? Did Donna die in the first one?
No! Donna, like, was going to live forever.
Then why is Donna... It was such a throwaway moment.
And they just kept... saying it.
Yeah.
They just kept saying, like, Donna's dead.
But they didn't tell you why.
They didn't
say, like, she has cancer or she got hit by a bus. It was like, Donna's dead now. Right. You know, everybody knows that Donna... Hey, everybody who has been following Mamma Mia for the 10 years after the movie knows that Donna is dead. And,
right.
You know... So get over it, friends. We got to move on. The titular character, not the titular character. Yeah, kind of the titular character. Mama.
Yeah.
The titular character of the show is dead. But you know that. Stop it. Stop freaking out about it.
Well, and she could have... What I would have appreciated is they had the whole scene in the first Mamma Mia where they sing Honey, Honey.
Yeah.
And they have Donna's journal. That
yeah.
she writes in about, like, after all of her escapades, she, like, writes in it.
Right.
And so they already had that established
right.
as a thing that was alive. And so what could have happened was, like, Sophie's like, this grand opening isn't going to go as I want to, and, like, I'm having problems with my husband, and I secretly know that I'm pregnant. Let me go back to my mother's journal and, like, see if there's some lessons that I can, like, something, and be like, Mom, what would you have said? Open up the journal, and then the story starts.
There you go. Yes. Instead of...
Just a weird flashback that no one's actually thinking of.
Right. Because here's my thinking. If Meryl Streep was not there, then why was she there? If Meryl Streep wasn't, like, available, then why...
Why was she at the end?
Why was she at the end? You know? Make it so that if she can only be there for a day or 2 days or whatever, construct a story in which she's even construct a story where she's just like, I gotta get the wine from over there or whatever, and you know, so it's like,
or if she is dead, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, but then she doesn't need to be there at the end, because I feel like Sophie could have just taken, like, been like, no, I'm the mama now. Like, it's my turn.
Right. But there was, I mean, the, I'm going from the posters, and the posters is, like, everybody, right?
Right.
And I kind of, like, and the Cher's in the poster, and I kind of know, like, Cher's gonna, like, with the trailer, Cher's gonna, like, make an appearance, she's going to do a cameo, and she's also Cher,
right.
You know, but with the posters, I think that Meryl's going to be there, right?
Right.
So that's, when she's not there, and when she's dead, and when it's just casually presented, I go, oh, they kind of fucked us up. They kind of, like, spammed us. They kind of were like, hey, come see this show. They kind of, like, clickbaited us, like, come see this show because Meryl's going to be in it. And then Meryl's not in it. But they did, because Meryl was in it just right at the end.
I will say that Lily James did a really good job as young Donna.
Lily James was phenomenal. I am always... I'm continually becoming more enamored with Lily James as an artist.
She's really good, especially because she didn't try to play Meryl Streep playing Donna. She just, like, did her own thing, and she was really endearing, and you, I think that you fell in love with young Donna more than anyone else in the movie.
Oh, I completely understand why these three young men fell in love with her.
Right.
Except...
Now, it still doesn't point out who her father is,
I mean, but that's the point. I mean, and I liked that, because the point of Mamma Mia... is it doesn't matter. The point of, if they wanted to do it, they could have done it in Mamiya. And we all know it's Pierce Brosnan, and it doesn't matter. We all know it's Pierce Brosnan. It doesn't matter. You know, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And what I loved, so there's a lot of things that were very silly in Mamma Mia 2, but what I loved in Mamma Mia 2 was that these men came together and they were just, they were like, we're the fathers, we're the grandfathers, like, it doesn't matter. We're going to be there for this woman, you know, we're going to be there for our daughter.
I do appreciate that, like, their relationship was so special and was really honestly crafted in Mamma Mia 1. And then, because they didn't know each other before Mamma Mia 1. Like, they never met. And so then in Mamma Mia 2, they obviously, like, have this backstory. And I feel like they're the type of characters that would have, like, a group text.
Oh, right. Oh.
Called, like, the daddies.
the saddies, the Sophie daddies.
Right.
Here's a question, though. Is this, does this take place 10 years in the future of the original? Is this?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
So,
how do you know this?
Because Sophie gets married when she's like 20, 21, something like that.
Oh, and she's like 25 now?
She's 25 now.
Okay. Okay, well then they still have like enough, they have that then that's still like four years.
I would say it's like 4 years.
Yeah, you can get very close with people by that time.
Yeah. I also want to talk about Tanya and Rosie as played by Christine Baranski and Julie Walters.
And also, in love with both of those women.
Also, young Tanya and young Rosie, they chose the most perfect people.
Young
Rosie. It's fine.
I don't know who that is, but...
She's the one who eats the cake.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That moment made me laugh so much when she's like, you know, my true love is cake.
Okay.
Welcome to my life.
I loved it. I loved that those two went to, apparently they had put, again, I've never seen Mamma Mia before, they planted the seeds of those two, apparently, in the first one, I love that Christine Baranski gets a husband of her own in Fernando's brother.
Right. That was a little strange.
Oh, absolutely, it was strange. It was just like we just need to pair everybody up right now, you know.
I do want to point out two Easter eggs that our listeners can look for when they watch Mamma Mia 2 again.
Yes.
So composers/ two of the members of ABBA are in this movie.
Shut up.
Yeah. So. Bjorn, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Well, maybe I'll try. Uveus is one of the professors at Oxford.
Cool.
He's like one of the ones sitting down.
Yeah.
And then Benny Anderson, who's the other composer, or one of the other composers, was the piano player in Waterloo.
Shut up.
Yeah. So isn't that cool?
That is so cool. That's so cool. I mean, I guess they would have to be, but it's so cool that, like, members of ABBA are, like, down with what's, like...
Oh, they're super down, because they're making so much money.
I can bet. I mean, definitely now, like, down... Well, now, especially, like,
think of how many theaters around the country did Mamma Mia this year.
Right, because of
now
it.
Now that the rights are out.
How many people are going to do Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again? Like, that's... If it doesn't... No, honestly, if it doesn't become on Broadway, it's still, like, you know... They would be dumb to not, like, put it on, to put it, like, on, like, a non-act tour or whatever.
I just don't know if because the plot and the script, like, the libretto of it, it's already so flimsy that I don't know if you could do it on the stage without doing a major overhaul.
I don't know. You could probably do it. Just wah. You go over here, then we go over here. We go over here, then we go... All right. As long as at the end, like they do at the end of the movie, everybody dances with their, like, past, present selves because time is a circle.
Right.
And everything is happening at once. So,
yep.
Meryl Streep dances with Lily James and, ugh.
I will say that by the time that they came in with actual Mamma Mia and then with Dancing Queen.
Yeah.
And then with Super Trooper, because those three are in the original Mamma Mia.
Super Trooper is in the original one?
I believe so. Am I crazy?
I'm not.
I think it's in the trying to challenge
you. I'm just like, fucking, I'm enamored with that, because Super Trooper is such a silly song.
It is. Well, and the Waterloo is at the end of the musical as well. Like, it's in the Megamix. But I was ready for it. Like, I was just at that point of tipsy that when they started singing, I was cheated by you, I was like, yes, here we go again.
Let's do it. Yeah, I don't care if these, I felt the same way. I was like, I don't care if these songs were in the original, and I was just like, I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was so ready for it. The one thing that I do want to talk about, and you and I were kind of chatting about this a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Was that this movie, and this I totally stole. I totally stole this idea from the New York Times review.
Yes.
So I want to give credit where credit is due. I did not come up with this idea. But it resonated a little bit deeply with me that this movie kind of highlighted cultural imperialism for me.
Oh, okay.
In that you have a bunch of Anglophiles in Greece doing, like, Swedish songs with not even a trace of, like, one kind of Grecian arrangement. Like,
yeah.
there was that one song that they were doing with the Greek band, but I don't think that was ABBA. I could be completely mistaken. Nope, I'm looking at the song list right now. I guess it was Kisses of Fire. Kisses of Fire was the only one that was done by that Greek band, but it wasn't like super Greek at the same time. And I just wanted there to be more of that influence of that culture onto these songs.
True.
Does that make sense?
It does. I did. And I agree with you, but if I may.
Yeah.
I would love to bring about a text from a friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod!
Rebecca Mason-Weigel.
Yes.
Who is sort of like the, if you don't remember, watch or listen to our Sister Act episode. She was on it. She's amazing. She's also been on Mamma Mia for, like, more than anybody else. She is, like, the unequivocal, like, expert on. And she said to me about it, she said, Mamma Mia, or the Mamma Mia brand, is unironically celebrating all women. Young, old, tall, short, fat, thin. As multifaceted characters. Tanya is a middle-aged sex machine with no shame in her plastic surgery. Donna is a single mom who's also a rock icon. Rosie is a butch little firecracker who gets in whenever and wherever she wants it and is smart enough to put anyone in their place. And the brand of Mamma Mia is never patting itself on the back for this kind of rainbow spectrum of representation. When there's a wheelchair solo in the middle of Waterloo, you don't even remember because it's just as normal as a dancer doing a pirouette. It just is. These people of all types rock out next to these fiercest dancers because they're all on the same level. It's never, oh, how nice, the old lady is getting some, or the handicapped girl gets a moment to shine. It just happens because that's how it should happen. End quote. Wiggle out.
She is... Right. Like,
microphone
right.
Drop. Microphone
as
drop.
As per usual,
Rebecca wins
exactly
always.
The right thing. She wins it all. But at the same time, I completely agree with everything that she has said. But
if you take a look at the poster, what are you seeing? You are seeing a whole lot of white people.
You're seeing a whole lot of white people, yes.
A whole lot of white people.
You're seeing a whole lot of white people. You're seeing, yeah, because that's, guys, can we all just call us wheat people from now on? Because that's who we are. We're all just, like, bland wheat, just, you know.
But it kind of is. And, like, they're supposed to be in Greece, and there's not even one Grecian main character. That's the whole point of this story, is, like, we don't have, like, we can highlight other characters. We can, like, bring in new people, whatever. But we just have to, like, keep with this, like, super-duper white cast of leads?
Well, I think they were, at least with this, they were doing a prequel sequel where, like, can I talk about that? Can I talk about the whiteness of this, the wheatness of this?
Mm-hmm.
My thing that I was going through every single time that Lily James was meeting a new person, that young Donna was meeting a new person, a new man, to I don't want to fuck, but I'm going to fuck you. They all look the same. They were all the same person. I could not tell the difference between these boys.
And I wish that they had done a little bit more work on the accents, because the fathers all have, like, those are their own accents.
Right. Oh.
Obviously. But the young guys, I was like, what's going on
the
here?
Guy, the guy who is ultimately going to be Stellan Skarsgård.
You know? The Swedish guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have a Swedish accent at all.
No.
It's American AF. And he's like, fuck.
They give up.
I'm going to spend a shit ton of time in Sweden. I'm just going to fucking build it myself, I guess.
I guess
you're going to fuck it into
really
me.
What's
your bucket?
Be pretty.
Because you're mad at young Pierce Brosnan.
Right. It was a lot. So I guess I just, overall, for me, it was so bad in some ways, like in plot structure and I never even talked about this. Hold on one second. Before I do my final thoughts. I was teaching up in Michigan this summer, high schoolers.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. But one of the things that we focused on was, okay, so in musical theater, what's fantastic about musical theater is seen in two song. And it's something that is unique to this genre. So I always say
I'm going to stop you right there.
Uh-huh.
Because this is not a genre. Musical theater is not a genre. It's a medium.
Okay. Medium. Yes. I stand corrected. In this medium, when you cannot speak, you sing. When you cannot sing, you dance. And when you cannot dance, you sing on vowels. Like, that to me is the order of...
Love it.
The level of intensity that has to be going on emotionally.
Yeah.
And the one thing that annoys me about Mamma Mia in general is it's purely a structural problem, is that the transitions don't amp up the emotion to a place where the characters need to sing / need to dance / need to sing on vowels.
Never.
And that's frustrating to me, because that's the whole point of musical theater, in my opinion, is – We have to amp up the emotion so that these things make sense and they just don't come out of nowhere. But that is some of the, like, lovable quality of Mamma Mia. It's like, okay, now we're singing because we have to put a song here.
Right. Well, that was the thing that I realized from the get-go of this movie. Jessica, I never thought I was going to watch this movie until, like, we had decided we were going to watch the movie. Because I knew it was going to be silly. But I knew from the get-go it was just going to be like, we are, at least for this one, I don't know for Mamma Mia, but the first one, but for Here We Go Again, we're just going to force feed songs into this storyline. But at least for I kind of was okay with it. If you know what you're getting into, it's kind of okay. And there are some times when you want, it was pure escapism to me. And all I wanted, like, I knew that they didn't have any problems, that the problems were, the biggest problem was Sophie.
A storm came ruined everything.
The biggest problem was Sophie and What's-His-Bucket were going to break up because of this.
Sky, but it
immediately, like, there was nothing else that happened. It was just like, oh, they're going to break up. And then 40 minutes later, they didn't, because he chose to come. It was fine. So the movie isn't a movie. The movie is...
It doesn't have conflict.
No, the movie is honestly a travel guide. It's a musical travel guide to honestly just be like, hey, do you want to, like, hear some fun songs for 2 hours and see some beautiful images and some beautiful people? Then here's Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, because that's what I got out of it, and I still loved it, and I was just like, oh, great.
And I do want to agree with a point that you just made, which was that it is escapism, and I think that we're going to see, especially right now in probably the next year or so, we're going to see this divisive quality in entertainment, where it is either escapism or it is very, very deep and intense. So, like, look at Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again versus Handmaid's Tale. Both are successful in their own right.
Yes.
But both are very, very different. And that kind of happens with entertainment when you're going through times of crisis. Think of, like, wartime.
Yeah.
Like, amazing things like South Pacific came out of war, but also so did, Sound of Music. Like, both things came out during that time.
You know, I mean, yeah, we had Captain America punching Hitler at that time, but we also had, like, Archie just being like, hi, I'm a normal guy.
I'm a high school kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, in these times, and more so in these times of, and that's also, like, coming back to the Greeks themselves, they noticed it. When there was times of war, they made shows, they made movies, they made plays about, they made comedies, mm-hmm. you know, and then when it was times of peace, they made dramas, and they made things that really, like, looked into our psyche and ourselves. So there's something nice to say that even in, and it doesn't matter what time we are in, we can still do both.
Exactly. Exactly. And I do want to, like, I know that we're, like, two white people talking about diversity, which is always problematic.
Yeah.
But I do want to applaud the at least approach to diversity that was there. I mean, could we do more? Of course, we can always do more.
Right.
But there, it was definitely a thought, I feel, in this movie as opposed to the one 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And I feel like Rebecca is totally right in that this musical embraces diversity and, like, has always embraced diversity, but even more so in this film, I feel like it made a really good effort, at least, to include diversity.
Yes, I agree. I don't say anything about that, but, like, yeah, I agree. I think it had a lot of moments where there were, I love the beautiful moment when Lily James is talking to the Grecian woman who was just...
Yeah.
She and they... And
yeah.
They gave her a spotlight. They gave her she had a... not even a moment in the sun, but she had, like, autonomy. She gave the house to her. You know, it wasn't just some white woman just being like, oh, this is a weird, I'm going to crash here and now it's mine. It was, you know,
right.
The woman who had been there, the woman who, and the woman who saw this other woman's heart, because we can talk about a lot about, we can talk a lot about diversity, you know, and I agree with it, and I want more of it, but like, when we talk about people's hearts, like, that's where we can progress forward, and it's like, so she's seeing the woman's heart, she's seeing that this woman, that Lily James, that Donna, that young Donna, is not going to do something different with it. It's going to embrace
the community and be something that can ultimately enhance this island and
right.
bring attention to it, blah, 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 blah. Like, help out these fishermen who
right.
lives, that type of thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
So one sentence, final thoughts on the movie before we get to your wines.
Oh, one sentence, final thoughts. One sentence, final thoughts to the movie. I freaking loved it. I freaking loved it. You
great.
You want to see it, but I freaking loved it. Didn't know that I was gonna love it. I loved it. More than a sentence, but I.
That's okay. I think for me, fluffy, yet endearing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, watch the movie knowing that there is going to be no...
There's no plot.
There's no plot. There's no... Just
no substance.
Hey, do you like ABBA songs? Do you like Beautiful People? Do you like...
Then
you know,
you'll like this movie.
Do you like...
Drink
Grecian,
some wine.
Do you like Grecian Islands? Go. Do you like...
Drink some wine, have a good time.
Hey, speaking of wines, do you like Abel and Chase Provence Rosé? Because this is the wine that I'm going to...
France.
This is the rosé that after the two that I've had.
Yes.
I'm going to choose the Amble plus Chase. France Rosé. I'm going to choose...
Jimmy, where can you find that?
You can find that at BTL Harlem.
Yes, BTL Harlem.
Yes.
And you can find Man Can if you're really interested in drinking some Man Can and supporting
Man Can.
These.
I told you I was going to do it.
These people.
These dumb people. They're all fucking, you know, like coders and,
yeah.
You know. Nerd.
I mean, star. I will say they're a dog on the can. So, if anything, support it for that.
Say it again.
There is a dog on the can. So, support it, if only for that.
Oh.
But you can pick this up at your local BevMo if you're in California. Because we all know that I love a good Bevmo.
Who doesn't love a good Mevmo?
Mevmo?
Bev, ah.
You've had so much wine.
I've had so much wine. I've had,
two cans.
I've had two cans. I'm so sorry.
So, friends, we don't have a game for today because this was a special emergency episode where we had to go see this movie.
We went to, yeah.
I had
laundry to do, but I decided I didn't do the laundry.
This was way more important, so I'm very proud of you. You made the right choice.
Thank you. But, friends, what do you think about this show? What did you like it? Did you like it more than Mamma Mia, this singular? Do you like our wines? Like,
we want to know all of your thoughts.
Yes.
So, literally, just follow us on Instagram. At Tannins and Tunes on Instagram and on Twitter, because we're doing some posts, and especially in our Insta stories, we're putting up polls.
Yes, reply to us on those. Reply to us how you feel about Mamma Mia 2 on Twitter, on Instagram. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you.
Or if you want to make it a more lengthy conversation, you can email us at tannins and tunes@gmail.com, which is always great.
Yes.
Definitely listen to you there.
Do we have a website? I think we have a website.
We do have a website, tannensandtunes.com, where you can go and listen to past episodes. There are links to our social media. You can read a little bit about us, I think. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah.
And then, Jimmy, where can people follow you?
People can follow me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and at Jimmy Robertson on Instagram.
And you can find me at JMHumphrey1, both on Twitter and Instagram. And then, guys, we got to get some reviews because we got to get up in those charts.
Yeah.
And this is all you right now.
Do you like us? Why don't you like us, friends? Friends, they moms.
Like us, Jimmy, they like us. It's just that I know my mom doesn't understand iTunes, so she can't go and leave a review. But I will put up another little how-to video on Instagram, and so you can see how to go and leave us a review, because it's super important to get us up in the top categories so that we can get even more listeners. So go on and leave a review, and we'll pair a wine with your username, and also we will donate $1 towards, I think we're still doing fire relief in Napa.
Perfect. I love it.
Right now. Yeah, because I was just up there, and guys, they need help.
Thank you, again, who have donated, who have reviewed it, and people who already listen to this. Thank you so much. We wouldn't be here right now without you.
Okay? Seriously, because it would just be our moms listening.
It would just be our moms listening. It would just be my mom at her Korean nail place just being like, have you seen my son? It's great. He's great. He's lovely.
At least your mom does that. My mom doesn't understand how to do that. And so she's just like, there's this thing called podcasts. I don't know.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. People, thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Yep. Okay. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun call coming up, you guys.
Oh, guys, we have some fun.
Yeah. Once I get back to New York.
I cannot wait.
Bye.
I don't know how, but I suddenly lose control. There's a fire within my soul. Just one look and I can hear the rain. One more look and I can get everything. Whoa, mamma mia, here I go again. My, how can I resist? Just mamma mia, does it show again? My, just how much I missed you.
You are about to become a great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother. I'm leaving that out of the bio.